All right, our next guest is one of the hardest working men in Hollywood.
Legendary character actor.
He's been in like 275 different films.
Yes.
And his new film, Silver Case, opens in Los Angeles March 22nd, which is tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
Let's get him on the line. It's Eric Roberts. Mr. Roberts, are you there?
Hey, you guys, you got to call me Eric. Don't call me my father's name. How are you?
I will call you Eric. Great. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's
Eric?
So great to hear that on the radio.
Such a great song. All this stuff is really, really good.
Isn't it nice? Yeah, I'm crazy about the kid.
He's talented. He's very talented.
Yeah, he's something. There's a song I made. There's a movie I made called The Novelist about a drunk, and that's the first time that Some Beautiful Pain ever appeared anywhere, and it's in that movie, which can also be found, I think, on iTunes.
Awesome.
Does Eric Roberts sing?
Eric Roberts sings very badly. Yeah.
If you were going to go to karaoke, what's your go-to song, though? There's got to be something that you sing.
Oh, gosh. I think probably Send in the Clowns because it's short.
Well, one other thing about Keaton, you want to keep your eyes open because he's going to be on an upcoming episode of Californication, I understand.
Californication, yeah.
With the man, David Duchovny. You're a good friend of David's, aren't you?
Actually, my wife, Eliza Roberts, is an old friend of David's. In fact, I think it was my wife who got him started when she was a casting director.
Wow.
And I think it was her who got him headed towards X-Files and what have you. And
wow.
They're very close, and he's a friend of the family's. He happens to like all of us, so we all hang out.
Well, something I thought was interesting, because, again, you are one of the hardest working men in Hollywood. If you just pull up your IMDb right now, there's like 40 film credits attributed to you in the next year and a half or so.
But I have to give you a warning. A lot of people, what they do is when they're interested in you, they put your name up there as if they already have you to attract other people. It's a game of cat and mouse and fun.
Wow.
And most people, you know, complain about it and have their agents, you know, call and have a little fit. But I don't, so they leave my stuff up there. And about half of it's right, and about half of it's a hope list of other people.
Well, even half of it, I mean, that's still a gigantic number. And especially considering the fact that I had heard a quote that you would hope to retire young within the next year and a half or so. And that was not a quote that I got from
you. Are you saying I'm not young? What the F is wrong with you, kid?
I had read this a year and a half ago. This is the quote.
The article's old.
Yeah, the article is from a year and a half ago, and it says, I hope to retire young in the next year and a half or maybe 2 years. I probably will unless someone offers me my own series, and it's absolutely incredible. I think I'm going to hang it up in about a year and a half because, you know, Hollywood's run by lawyers, not artists, and I don't find that terribly appealing.
Hmm.
That's a perfect quote, and it's a fact. Yes, indeed. So I say I got about, you know, 10 months, a year to have fun and go make some movies, and then if I don't really get something I'm really crazy about, I'm gonna head for South America and try to save the rainforest. Because gentlemen, if the rainforest covers the continental mass, the land mass of the continental U.S., we've already shaved down all of California, so we have to stop, or else the earth dries up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
among other problems.
Yeah.
Among
that's
other problems. There you go,
right,
brother.
Here.
Yeah. But we got to pay attention. That's all. But anyway, back to Silver Case.
Well, Silver Case, like we said, is opening this weekend.
Tell
I'm really excited about it. Yeah. Give us a little synopsis of what Silver Case is all about.
You know, to oversimplify it, but to keep it, you know, right where it's at, it's all about a silver case that gets passed around through the whole movie to people, and nobody knows what it is, but everybody knows it's important, it's valuable, and it will give you power. Okay, so who's got the case? I think he does, and we follow the case. And I'm not going to tell you any more than that because it'll give something away that's very important. That's a detail that you have to hear when you watch in the movie itself. But it's all about a silver case and how we give importance to things in life and why.
And it's interesting because this film was shot a couple of years back, and it's hit so many different major film festivals like Cannes and the Rome International Film Festival, San Diego Black Film Festival, and there's been so many awards that's been won with this movie.
Apparently, people are liking this movie. Who knew?
I watched it last night, and it's very, for better terms, it's very Tarantino-esque.
Yeah, good for you.
But the film, like we said, took home several awards at the 2012 LA Indie Awards. It was Best Feature, Best Director, Best Lead Actor, Best Supporting Actress, and the Jury Award for Best Feature at the Beverly Hills Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something different because all the movies now, we said this so many times, that it's either remakes or something that's just – it's just flat.
It's nothing original anymore.
This is something that's very original and very artsy, and it has a good payoff at the end.
Yeah, it's a good payoff. It's true. It is.
What I got to ask you, when's the last time that Eric Roberts actually auditioned for a film?
Oh, guys, I got to tell you, look, everybody auditions now. I got a funny story for you. I walk into a hallway the other day to read for this thing, and I look, and in chairs against the wall are five guys whose names go above title when they're hired, and they're all sitting there, and we all look at each other. We're like, dude, are you reading? Are you reading for this? What part? And we're all reading for the same part, and we all start laughing, and then the cast director walks out, and we're all laughing, and we start pointing at her, and she's like, what I do? It was really funny. Everybody's reading now, because productions, unless you're an old guy like me who's been in a million movies and has a great wife and a good accountant, everybody is in real trouble right now. The whole world's in trouble. So everybody needs work. So, you know, the bosses have the upper hands. And in the old days, you know, when they called an actor like me or Mickey Rourke or somebody, you know, they'd make an offer. But now they call us and they say, would you come read for us? And if we don't stand a chance at the part, because you look, you know, compliant if you read for them, and you look like you're going to be star and hard to negotiate with if you don't. So the whole world is back to square one, all because of George Bush ruining our economy. So that's kind of the long and short of it. Yeah, who knew?
Once again,
that's what's happened.
Yeah. Well, you did mention that you've been in the industry for a very long time, and you kind of grew up in it. You have a family that was in the business since you were born.
And the industry's been so good to my family. Who knew?
Yeah. When you come right out the gate, though, with an award-nominated performance like Star 80, does it just add so much more pressure to live up to the acclaim and the hype?
It does, but I think it does in one's own mind. See, what happened with me was my first movie was called King of the Gypsies, and it was a best-selling book, and it was being written into a screenplay, play, and also directed by Frank Pearson, who did Cat Ballou, Dog Day Afternoon, all kinds of great hit movies, The Star Is Born, Barbara Streisand, blah blah blah. Great director, great writer. In fact, he just died about a month ago. But the point is, everybody wanted this part. I was an unknown. I had to go audition. After audition, I got called in for a screen test. I got the screen test. I went in and I tested. I had to wait a week or 10 days, and then they tell me you got the movie. What was the question? I'm sorry, I lost myself.
when you come out the gates with like Star 80 and it's so much acclaim.
Right. So after my first movie that everybody wanted, I got it and I got these great reviews. I thought I had to top myself every time. So I tried to do that. Every time I tried to play something completely diversely different. I went from King of the Gypsies to where I played a northeastern gypsy, to Raggedy Man, where I played a naval gunner out of Arkansas, to Star 80, you know, true story of Dorothy Stratton and Paul Snyder, to Purple Grange Village, you know, that was the order of those movies,
and they were
so different from each other that I thought I was the only guy in the whole world who could do that. Oh my God, I'm great. And I kind of, you know, believed all my all my hype about being a great actor. I thought I was for a while. And
But you are.
You came out swinging, brother.
Yeah, sure I did. But you know what I learned over the years, guys? It's not about how good you are. It's how good the pieces you're in are, and how much you support those pieces. And I learned that over the years. You know, back then I was under the tutelage of somebody who was not very production friendly. So he kind of kept me out of the mainstream if he could. So I kind of came and went, you know, for years. You know, I would come out of a movie and wow, big splash, and then vanish. And that's kind of how it went, really, up until 19. When was I nominated? Was that 85, 86, 87?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there, yeah. The mid to late 80s. And after I was nominated, I let that mentor go. And then I met my wife about a year and a half, maybe 2 years after that, who kind of straightened me out and educated me on what production friendly is and how to be everybody's pal and how to.
Why
do
you think
that?
Do you think you were a big pain in the ass on the set before that with that old agent?
No, I was not a pain in the ass, but I was not. I was not, you know, production friendly. I was not taught well. I didn't know how to be that. And but when my wife taught me, 10 years after I got into movies, and my wife got a hold of me and taught me, it's a lot more fun to be production friendly. Mm-hmm. And it also makes it much more of a team effort as opposed to everybody you know catwalking around an actor, you know. And it's just fun. And I have seen the world. I have the best job on the planet, and I just love what I do every single day.
Well, one of my favorite films that you've been in is Best of the Best, and one of my second favorite films, I would say, we were just discussing this before, we love The Expendables. So you've worked with all the action heroes from anywhere from the 80s to the 90s to the big booms. So in your opinion, if you had to put out the toughest individual that you ever worked with, who would the toughest action star be? Real life tough.
Okay, but explain what your definition of a tough is.
You tell me. What's your definition of tough, and who would you pick?
Okay, if it's my definition of tough, it's going to be Sly Stallone. Here's the story. So Sly and I know each other because we did a movie back in the 90s together called The Specialist. So he and I are old buddies, and we like each other. So, you know, it's all good. And we get down to a Rio de Janeiro about 2 weeks early because he has to rehearse and he has to decide, you know, who's going to do this, who's going to do that, who's going to be this specialist, who's going to be that specialist, who's going to work with Eric, blah, blah, blah. He's got to decide all this because he wrote, produced, he also directed. I mean, he was the boss. He was the star, the director, the writer, everything. He was the producer, blah, blah, everything. Mm-hmm. So we all show up down there and we're all rehearsing. But every morning we all meet in the gym and we all work out like madmen. And, you know, a lot of those guys have the bodies of the Greek gods. You know, they're incredible, you know, mm-hmm. specimens. Anyway, Sly's on the bench, and he's picking up about 450 pounds, you know, which
Jesus
apparently
Christ.
Is like, it? Like by road for him, I guess. I don't know.
Jeez.
But he's like picking up a massive amount of weight. And suddenly he has knocked his pec off his chest, and his chest turning black from internal bleeding. And we realize he's really hurt himself, but he leaves the set. He has attended to in a matter of hours, and he's back on set. And that's why in Expendables you never really saw his chest. You saw the Expendables in tattoo on his back.
Yeah.
And you never really saw his chest because he had to have it worked on because he broke it.
Jesus.
And he never batted an eye.
So he's putting up 450, and he's, what is he, almost 60
he's in
years
his
60, old?
Yeah, he's definitely 60s, early 60s, right?
Yeah, Sly, I think, is about 10 years older than I am, and I'm in my mid-50s.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, but he never batted an eye, and he just comes and is like, hey, how you doing? So sorry about that thing this morning, kind of hurt my chest, hee-hee. And it's like, you know, he's just a really cool, smart, tough, talented, fun guy to hang out with. And sounds... I recommend his ass to anybody. I love Sly Stallone.
Well, I heard you're close personal friends with another star of that film, Expendables, Stone Cold Steve Austin, the wrestling icon.
Yeah, Steve and I are good pals. Yeah, I love that guy. He is so absolutely normal, you'd never know it. And he loves his wife. He's got a groovy wife. They're really close, like me and my wife. And but, you know, he has this image of being a madman. So, you know, when you walk with him out like public, like in airports, everybody's freaked out. But then you know, you have like dinner with him, and he goes, God, this coffee's so hot. And you're like, that's not Stone Cold Steve Austin. It couldn't possibly be. Nah, he's a great cat. I love Steve so much. He's so normal.
There's so many rumors out there that we want to try to clear up today. One
Let's
rumor
clear them up.
That we keep hearing is that you were up for the villain role in a couple of Bond films.
That's not true. That's not true. In fact, they've never asked me to be anything with a Bond film, and the only time I ever got interested in being in Bond films of, oh, wow, I could do that, was my buddy and Chris Walken played a bad guy in a Bond film once. And in fact, I stole something from him. He, like, bleached his hair white in this Bond film he did. And I thought, wow, that's a great visual. Wow, you never take your eyes off his hair. So I got offered a film. Who was that with, honey?
That was directed by Dennis Dugan. It was National Security with
Martin Lawrence.
You know, Martin Lawrence, yeah.
Martin Lawrence, good catch. And
thank
I
you.
Stole from Chris Walken, and I dyed my hair white because I wanted to be that bad guy streak of light that goes across the screen like he was. And we also steal from each other. But to answer your question, that's a long-winded story. No, I've never been offered a bad guy in a Bond film.
Not offered, but if you're being I'm calling your agent right now.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
I'll let you do that,
you
baby.
Get the commission.
Okay.
Any truth to the rumor that Brian De Palma had wanted you to play Tony Montana in Scarface?
Not true at all. Are you kidding? Please.
These are big rumors that have been out there for years.
Really?
Yeah.
I would love to play that part, but no, of course not.
Wow. All right, you mentioned Christopher Walken, you mentioned Stone Cold Steve Austin. Let's say you have a barbecue, a family barbecue.
Exactly.
Who else is going to be there?
Do they all get together and hang out? Like,
I would have them all over, but I wouldn't tell you guys about it.
Come on, Eric.
Now, you know, they're all very what's the word? They're all very
eccentric.
Private guys who do not want to be messed with, but they have good humor up until you mess with them. So I don't want to be the guy to mess with them.
Well, one thing that we've seen you on is Celebrity Rehab, and it seemed like you were that person in the house that kind of shouldn't have been there compared to the other people.
Of course.
Did you ever think to yourself while you're filming this, like, what the hell am I doing here with these train wrecks?
Oh yeah, it was an absolute gas. When I was offered that, my wife said, I wasn't going to tell you this, but you were offered Celebrity Rehab. I said, oh yeah, right. And I made a joke about it, you know, and I walked away and she goes, come back here, I need to talk to you about this. I said, what? She goes, I think you should do this show. I said, why? Because I'm a pothead? And she goes, no. Because you don't have that audience, and you have terrible short-term memory anyway. You should help yourself. So I said, okay, but I can't promise you I'll be nice to everybody. She goes, just try. So that's why I did the show. And I stopped smoking pot for about 1,000 days, for about 3 full years. Mm-hmm. But I have since revisited the herb a little bit, but I'm not what you call a pothead.
Good for you.
That was quite the experience. It was also live, you know, or at least it always felt live, even though it's recorded. And you the only place to ever be without a camera was on the toilet. So there was no place to ever go hide. And it was the oddest, most unprofessional, uncomfortable experience I have ever lived through in my life.
What was the worst story? Give us like a horrible one.
Well, the only time that I acted like anything but but bored, I think, was one day I go out to the pool, and I'm not swimming, but I'm out there in my shorts just hanging out, and all the girls are out there. And then out walks Janice Dickinson, and she's bad-mouthing Rachel, you know, Tiger's ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And she's bad-mouthing Rachel. And I tell her when she starts to go with this explicit example of how bad she is, I said, don't throw Rachel under the bus. And she says, oh, she's this and she's that and she's this and she's that. And I don't know what happened to me, but I was just watching her talk, and I said, you are such a C word. And
nice. You could say it.
I said it quietly, but she wanted to make sure that everybody knew that I said that, so she screamed loud, he called me a C word, he called me a C word. It was like grammar school. And so I ran away and went to the producers and said, yep, I called somebody a C word. I think you guys should know. And I realized, what the F am I doing here? This is insane. But I stayed the whole time, and I, as it were, graduated. And I love Dr. Drew, by the way. Dr. Drew is a groovy cat. You don't see how really cool he is on the air, because you know that's kind of the public persona. But he's really hip and really cool, and he knows how to take and no guff and like and still be likable. And I will always like him and always love how he works with people. He's a great cat.
Well, do you think it's wrong? Because a lot of people really kind of get on him for televising people, especially celebrities.
Exploiting,
people,
yeah.
Struggle with addiction. They use that word exploitation a lot. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, on the surface, it comes across like exploitation. But the thing is, when you make what feels like the biggest issue in the world is when your life is falling apart, and because of addiction or because of, you know, whatever it is, when your life is falling apart, and drug addiction, bar none, makes everybody's life fall apart. There are no exceptions. So when you can see, when I can watch, you know, Janice Dickinson, who comes across like, you know, spiteful and mean and this and that. But then you find out it's just the drugs. And once she's off the drugs, she's a wonderful human. So it's like valuable in that people can see their own behavior in say Janice Dickinson and go, mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I do. Wow, I do that. And then when they then it's not a crime, but it's something that can be dealt with honestly and well, and that's why I think it's valuable.
I'm just happy to say that, if
I can be an example to a 13-year-old pothead, I think that's great, because I was a young 13-year-old pothead.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had seen somebody like Pele or like Steve McQueen say, guys, so much fun to smoke pot, but it will turn your life inside out. Why? Because it makes you stupid, guys. and had he said it with a smile, I'd have said, God, Steve is so cool. You know what? He's right. And I'd have gotten behind him probably, you know.
But the best part was when he would be smoking a joint in the locker room right after that.
You're not wrong. But anyway, yeah, but, you know, so yeah, I think it's – I don't really believe it's exploitation.
Yeah.
I believe it's calm examples, and I think that's cool. Now I know Dr. Drew, so I know he's not a wheeler dealer, show off, exploitative kind of guy. But I can certainly see if you didn't know him, well, you might think that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we mentioned before the legacy of the Roberts family. Your daughter is now acting as well.
Yeah,
Emma.
Isn't it great?
Her first movie debut.
Well, she played Johnny Depp's daughter in Blow.
Yeah.
So when you rent that again, because it's a fun movie to watch, Blow. When you're renting, Johnny's great in it.
Yeah.
When you watch Blow again, you look, you know, for his daughter. I think she was 9, and she actually looked into the lens in her close up. Yeah.
Well, the thing that I need to ask you about this, I mean, you're very close to your daughter, and I know there were some rumors about her possibly being in the 50 Shades of Grey film.
Uh-oh.
How does that affect you as a father, knowing that might be a possibility?
You're so funny. Dude, every actress in Hollywood is being considered for 50 Shades of Grey. And so we can't even entertain that thought up until it's closer to becoming a reality. Because, everybody's been thought about for that. So we'll see. But if I were going to really think about it, how would I feel about it? Is that the question, maybe?
Yeah, how would you feel about it?
Uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable is a perfect word. Yeah, I would feel uncomfortable for sure. Are you kidding? Come on, dude.
We usually wait to the end of the interview to ask email questions. We get a ton of people emailing questions. But, you know, when we're on the subject of family, I had Eric from New Jersey wanted to know if you regarding your relationship with Julia Roberts. We know you were estranged for a while, but if you were not estranged at a certain period of time, would you have told her to stay away from that creepy looking Lyle Lovett?
Lyle Lovett is a great cat, and I don't judge anybody by how they look, especially when you have that much talent and that much integrity.
Mm-hmm.
He has both, and he's a cool cat, and to call him little like schoolyard names, I'm not big on. So yeah. I'm going to ignore that and say that Lyle Lovett's a groovy cat. What else?
I actually have this is a bit of trivia to see if you could answer and maybe all of us could answer. Runaway Train. You were a boxer in prison,
right?
And the person that you boxed and knocked out is a character actor.
Oh, dude, it's a great story about this. Okay, here's the deal. Before you name names, the guy who wrote that was a man named Eddie Bunker. He served 17 years in Folsom Prison. He did a total of 23 years in prison, but he did 17 years in Folsom. Okay, while he was in Folsom, he met a Mexican kid named Danny Trejo, who was a welterweight champ at Folsom. He was a badass kid. So they met, they became friends, and then Eddie gets out of prison by writing a book called Straight Time that Dustin Hoffman wrote and Dustin Hoffman bought, wanted to make into a movie. So Eddie gets out of prison, he gets picked up by a limousine and taken to a movie studio to talk to Dustin Hoffman. That's how his like free life started. So he wrote Straight Time for Dustin Hoffman, so he became a Hollywood guy. Well, then he's like a runaway train, and he tells me, because I have to pick a guy to box. So he says, pick the guy with the tattoo. I said, okay, because that's Eddie's friend, so I'm going to pick the guy with the tattoo. They line out about 30 guys. They're all Hispanic, and they all have tattoos. So I get Eddie on the phone, and that was before the days of a cell phone. So I had to go make a call. I had to go really, you know, track him down. And I say, dude, they all have tattoos. He goes, no, the one with the big tattoo on his chest of a Mexican boy in a hat. So I picked the guy with the biggest tattoo on his chest, and it was Danny Trejo, and that was whatever it was, 1986, 87, and he and I have been friends ever since.
Yeah. Wow, cool dude.
Yeah,
sorry, yeah.
And now he's got with Machete's franchise.
Yeah.
He's a huge, huge superstar, and he's a great guy, and nobody deserves him more than Danny Trejo.
I have a feeling Eric Roberts is going to pop up in a Machete.
I think so.
I think
that'd
be great. If he's a real friend.
Well, what I love about Eric Roberts is you never expect this because, I don't know, it was just a surprise to me that Eric Roberts is so active on Twitter.
Yeah,
a daily
yeah.
dose of Eric Roberts just checking out his Twitter.
I dig Twitter. Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? And you're not shy ever to give your opinion. And we've heard so many different quotes of things you said, but I want your opinion on pop culture. What's your opinions on the Kardashians and Honey Boo Boo, and what kind of effect do you think these shows will have on these kids in the future?
Well, you know, when they first got famous, the Kardashians, you thought, you know, God, I hope nobody, you know, takes it seriously, because that'd be a bad example. Mm-hmm. But then as you watch them, which we all do, by the way, as you watch them, it gets to be fun. And they get to be mindlessly silly, but not dangerous. Not like, you know, if your kid sees this behavior, how they're gonna incorporate it in their lives. You don't think that, because first of all, they've become kind of as much example of what not to be as what to possibly be. So it goes both ways, and I don't mind them anymore. I minded them at like first because I thought it was so silly. But all reality TV is silly, I decided. So it's just, you know, get on board and shut up, Eric. That's how I feel about it.
What about other reality shows like John and Kate Plus 8 with Kate Gosselin?
Yeah, is there a guilty pleasure?
Kids, like all those little kids when they're so young.
Yeah, what are you asking me, baby?
What about Kate Gosselin? Like, what are your opinions on her putting her children on TV at such a young age?
Yeah, baby.
Well, as long as it's done in a format that everybody understands what they're doing and why, I think it's all fine. And I also think that show business offers a kid, you know, something you know, nothing else does. It offers them understanding of travel and space and other people, and that's really kind of cool. But Kate Gosselin, I'm not a fan of personally. But I understand where it's entertainment, and I understand where it's like fun to watch. It's like watching a train wreck. You can't stop looking at it, and that's just how it goes. And it's unfortunate because you know you think of her dignity. You know where is her dignity? You know you think about that as you watch that show. But you know that's just an opinion. It's not necessarily what is the fact. You know.
See, I get mad because I feel that all these reality shows that are tying up the networks, there's like millions of talented actors that are not getting work because of these reality shows.
Yeah, but the producers are loving it because, you know, reality shows are very cheap to produce. Mm-hmm. They don't have to pay star salaries. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to have one. Oh, yeah, yeah, great, I got one. And they don't pay well up until they're huge hits. And then of course, everybody gets rich. But the producers are loving it. They don't have to build sets. They don't have to have sound stages. It's all in the producer's favor.
Would you ever do one? Would you do a reality show and open up your life like that?
He did,
like a real one, like day by day, watching what Eric does,
following him everywhere,
except in the bathroom.
Well, I got to be honest with you guys, except in the toilet, of course. Yeah, I have to be honest with you guys. If I were offered enough money, I might do pretty much anything.
Really?
I'm putting a petition.
I might do pretty much
anything. Kickstarter.
My wife is. It's a four letter word. My wife, as you call me many times, it starts with a W, and yes, I will work for money. I will do that.
Four letter word.
Yeah, what is that?
Is four a five letter word?
No. Yes. You just leave the E off.
I would leave the E off.
It depends on how you spell it.
Anyway.
Well, I think we should start a petition, and I know you're a big fan of this, which surprised me. Dancing with the Stars. I think.
Oh,
we should...
You know what's funny about Dancing with the Stars is their first season, their first show, they offered to me, and I was in China making a movie, and I got this offer. And I called my wife, and my wife had just seen something ballroom.
Mad Hop Ballroom.
I mean, yeah, you Mad Hop Ballroom. And she goes, honey, Dancy's coming back. You got to do this show. It's going to make you a huge superstar. We're going to have a lot of fun. I said, cool, okay, I'll do that. And then we had one day overlapping with the Chinese movie and Dancing with the Stars, and they wouldn't make it work. The Chinese movie wouldn't help us.
Wow.
And so because of one day overlapping, I didn't do Dancing with the Stars. But it's actually okay in the end result because at the time this was happening, I was making a martial arts movie in China, and my hip was going. So I got home from China, and I had to get a titanium hip installed in my body.
Oh, wow.
So that might have gotten in the way with Dancing with the Stars, and I'd have lost and I would have never had another shot. But as it is now, since they haven't asked me back, and whatever it is, 150 years, I'm probably not going to ever do the show now.
Yeah, but tell them what's happening on Monday, this very Monday.
This very Monday, what's happening, honey?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, right, yeah.
There's no pot involved.
All of us are going to go support Andy Dick. All of us from Less Than Perfect, the whole cast is going to go support Andy Dick. And his Dancing with the Stars
And Keaton will be there. Yeah, everybody watch.
Do you think Andy can really do that? Like, let's just say he keeps progressing.
What would you ask?
Do you think Andy can really sit here for, let's just say, if it's 12 weeks and really do this for 12 weeks straight? This is some – I know they, like, try to make a joke of it, but this is some
strenuous
stuff.
Why do you think we're going on Monday, early in the season?
Well, we're actually going to help him see to it that he does do the show properly. we all love Andy, and we all know Andy's difficulties, and we understand them, and we accept them, and you just got to go be supportive.
We all have demons. It's just some are stronger than others.
Yeah, there you go.
Well said.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
His wife is right next to him. What's the day in the life of living with Eric Roberts?
The one other reality show he almost did was like Big Brother in England, some version they had. And when they interviewed him, they thought he was so unbelievably boring, like an old woman, that they decided not to.
Yeah. Before they hired me, they fired me.
Yeah, pretty much. They asked that question. What's day in life? Eric goes, well, I love to read, and I go to bed very early. So pretty much by 7, I'm in my nighty.
No, that's not what I said. Here's what I said. I said, look, guys, I'm like an old man. I go to bed between 8:30 and 10 every single night. I'm up between 5:30 and 7 every single morning, and I'm in the gym first thing. Then I start my day. And they're like, okay, that's exciting. Okay, what else? Well, I read a lot. Uh-huh. Okay, that's exciting.
Great visual.
How long have you been married? 2,500 years. Uh-huh. So you're a real bore. Okay. Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Roberts, but we're not going to have you on the show. I'm like, really? Why? What did I do quickly? Oh, okay. There we go.
Something that's not boring is Eric Roberts' performance in Silver Case. Again, it opens tomorrow night in Los Angeles. And I had a sneak peek yesterday, and like I said, best way to describe it for me is I'm a big fan of Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Very Tarantino-esque. And I know Dave wasn't able to check out the screen, but I have a copy. We're going to be watching tonight. I can't wait. But we have so many people that have been waiting forever to talk to you. We have people emailing us questions, Facebooking, Twittering us. We got some people online from all over the world. We have someone going as far as Australia.
I love that.
Paul from Australia is on the line.
Wow.
Paul.
Wow.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? I'm great, Eric Roberts.
I actually made a movie in your country once called The Coca-Cola Kid.
Did you?
Yeah, it's called The Coca-Cola Kid. It's a really good rental. And it's got Greta Saatchi naked when she was so hot, it takes your breath away.
Sold.
I'm going to have to definitely see that. Oh, my God.
You're right. It's
so
a great rental.
Absolutely. So you can actually fight in real life as well because you made the best movies?
I'm sorry. What did you ask me?
So you can fight in real life.
Yes, I am a martial artist. I'm not as good as I was in that movie, supposedly, but yeah, I've been a martial artist my whole adult life.
Hey, Eric, was that the most times you cried in a movie? Was Best of the Best?
I think maybe so, yeah. I cry over my kid, I cry over my shoulder,
Walter,
I cry a lot.
You cry over Walter, and your shoulders popped out.
Yeah, all kinds of crap happens, huh?
I thought that guy was saying, I couldn't understand his accent. I thought he said, do you fart in real life?
Yeah, it sounded like that. Yeah.
I thought he did too, but let's not make him feel bad if he's still listening.
No, he's
We got Brendan from New York. Brendan, you're on the line.
I just had a question. As far as you growing up with your sister, Julia, did you ever sneak into her bedroom and smell her panties?
Okay, well, let's move on to the next question that hopefully will be legitimate.
Let's just take an email question. Was there ever a role that you turned down and later regretted?
Oh, yeah, that happens a lot. Let me see. The bad guy in Cliffhanger, in Sly Stallone's big comeback movie when his career was, taking a little droop, so he did in Cliffhanger, and took the world by storm, and he offered me the bad guy in that. But I have an aversion to cold weather, and I have and this guy was in Cliffhanger was all in the tundra. Now I had already made Runaway Train, so I know what it's like to be cold. So I like turned it down because of the weather and location. Everybody got mad at me.
Uh-huh.
Eric? I think we lost Eric.
Yeah.
Rico, try to get Eric back on the line. I think we lost him.
Runaway train.
He ran away from us. What an incredible interview, though, right?
Far so good.
Guy has an incredible life. I mean, he's got so many films we couldn't even sit here and ask. Like, there's so many particulars that I want to ask.
Yeah, there's ridiculous. So many, like, inside little questions.
Oh, my God. And it's cool that his wife is hanging, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Who knew she was so instrumental?
I want to get, yeah, like, she's...
She remembers some of the parts he had that
yeah.
he doesn't remember.
What was Eccles' wife's name?
Oh, wow.
Lori.
Yeah.
I think I got him back on the line now. Let's see. Eric?
Hello.
There we go. Thank God.
So, where were we when you heard me last?
Talking about Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger and
Oh yeah, so I turned it down, you know, based on like weather and climate, because I had already made Runaway Train, so I knew what it was like to be cold, mm-hmm. and I don't like it, so I turned it down. But then I saw the movie and went, wow, John Lithgow had so much fun, obviously, and he's also a friend of mine. So it's like, wow, I wish I'd made that movie. But John was good. You know, John's a good actor, so John was great in it.
He's a great villain.
Yeah, he's a great guy, too. You love him.
We had Paul from Connecticut who wants to know, have you ever partied with Charlie Sheen, and what's your best Charlie Sheen story?
I have, and I can't.
Good.
Does it involve animals?
No, it doesn't, thank God.
This is actually from Sally from Texas. You're a huge music fan with very varied tastes. If you had to form a supergroup, who does it include?
It would include Mick Jagger,
singer,
Keaton Simons, Stevie Ray Vaughan, if I could bring back the dead, and yeah, it would be those three guys on lead, and then probably who was drummer of the Eagles? Don Henley.
Don Henley.
I'd put Don Henley in there because I love his voices.
Sing.
What's that?
Who could also sing?
Who can also sing like a madman,
yeah,
Kenny?
Yeah.
And let me see.
A bassist.
Bass. Darwin Johnson. You probably don't know him, but he's sensational. Darwin Johnson. He plays a lot with Keaton. And that'd be my band.
Awesome.
That'd be my band. And I like boss around and say, no. Keep his part quiet. Keep his part loud. Okay, go, guys. You know.
we have a real question here. We got Gerard from Florida. I don't want to call him out here. I know he was waiting for a while. Gerard, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Eric?
What's happening, Gerard?
I guess a good question. You've done so many movies, and I'm sure there's been probably a bunch that you tried out for that didn't quite get. Was there anything that you really wish you would have got that you just barely missed out on?
You know, there probably are. But I can't think of one really clearly. Let me turn to my wife and see if she knows. What do you think, babe?
Along those lines, there was a pilot you did that you wish had gone.
Oh, yeah, it's a great pilot I did called Grace that I did for ABC Disney. And I played a guy who was like Bob Fosse. Now, Bob Fosse was a choreographer-director. His movies include Lenny, All That Jazz, Cabaret, Star 80, great filmmaker. He did a bunch of Broadway hits, a bunch of Tonys. He's the only guy to ever win all three awards in the same year, the Tony and the Oscar and the Emmy, all in the same year. And
you can find Grace, actually, if you go on YouTube and just type in So You Think You Can Dance Drama. Because it stars most of the dancers from So You Think You Can Dance.
Really?
And then you'll see why this was just like a mystery. And that kind of broke Eric's heart, I have to say.
Yeah, being an actor, you get used to rejection. And you're used to not everybody loving you every day. It's just how it goes. This show was so good, Grace, that I have never been more cocky about, oh, yeah, sure, we're going. I can't believe I'm in a hit show already, even though it wasn't a hit yet, of course. I'm in a hit show. And then they didn't pick it up, but I have never understood why. It's can they see it?
Yeah, they.
Yeah.
As
yeah,
I just
know.
Said. So You Think You Can Dance, oh, drama, yeah, with Eric Roberts, and it'll, yeah, it'll pop up, and it has the rest of the cast is amazing too. A lot of gorgeous women and whatever. It's pretty cool.
A lot of hot babes who dance, guys.
It's done by Chris Vernoff, the producer of Grey's Anatomy, for God's sake. Had everything going for it.
Yeah, Chris is the coolest.
Maybe your listeners can analyze what happened for us.
Now, I'm going to put that on our website. I'll put a link to the
They'll just make it
do,
happen.
Do that. Put a link, yes. Get in trouble with ABC, that'll be great.
Yeah, we're going to get in big trouble. It doesn't matter. Great.
Good.
But again, Eric Roberts' Silver Case opens this weekend. It's tomorrow night in L.A., March 22nd. You know, keep your eyes out for this movie because I'm telling you, keep them open because this is absolutely amazing. I watched it last night. Loved it.
Thank you, pal. It's a fun movie to watch.
Real fun movie, and if it's not airing in a theater near you, keep your eyes peeled for the VOD release or on DVD or Blu-ray because this is something that you want to keep. This is a great film.
And if you haven't
Thank
seen
you,
check out Runaway Train, check out Star 80, check out – we didn't even talk about the Pope of Greenwich Village, which is really
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, just call me.
They took my thumbs.
Go to my website, ericrobertsactor.com. There's all kinds of fun stuff there for you guys.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure and an honor.
Thanks, guys. And thank you, too, darling.
Darling baby. You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you. We love you.
You guys are just amazing from beginning to end. Okay.
Much.
Bye-bye now.
And take
Bye,
care.
Guys. Bye.
That's the Roberts.
And Mrs. Roberts.
Yeah, man.
The Roberts.